The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors. It's time for Laurie and Lynn. Local talk to start your weekend right. And now, Laurie and Lynn on WILK.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Good morning.
I'm just fine.
Yeah.
How was your Christmas?
Very nice. It was busy but fun, and I've had everybody was in, and it's been a crazy weekend. Sean and Katie were in from Friday afternoon on, so we were out to dinner Friday night. We went to Fibio's, and Saturday morning we were at Mansour's. I went to pick up all my goodies. And then Christmas Eve, the four of us went, Tommy and Sean and Katie and I went to the downtown deli.
Wow.
We were all over the place. Yeah. Well, when you have two boys, then they're always looking for to-go places. So that's what we did.
Yeah.
And then Sunday night.
Did you go to midnight mass?
I did not go to midnight. I went to 4 o'clock, and it was absolutely beautiful. The bishop said
4 o'clock on Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, yeah.
Christmas Day, Christmas Eve.
No, Christmas Eve.
Okay.
And it was at the cathedral, and the bishop said mass, and the music is absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a bunch of people who I haven't seen, and I scooted in very early and got my seat in the corner, in the my own little corner in my own little chair, and I'm not going to sing, Lynn. In
okay,
my
Cinderella.
Own little corner. Yes. Yeah. And so we went. I sat there, and Neil, my buddy, said he came over to me. Said, "What time did you get here? At noon to get that seat?" I said, "No, it was about 25 after 3." So I listened to the music and prayed, and you know, it's just so pretty. The altar's gorgeous with the nativity and the trees lit, and it's just beautiful and solemn and joyous.
Was
all
it live
the same time.
Nativity?
No. But it's a beautiful set that they have, the cathedral has on the altar. It's beautiful, and the music is just unbelievable. The only thing that made me a tad sad is that my buddy Jack Martin, who for years has played in the Christmas Mass, he's a trumpeter, and he doesn't play anymore. So the first horns I heard were trumpets, and I was thinking of Jack and him not being there. And I'd call me and say, "Hey, you going to Mass?" I'd say, "Yes." And he'd say, "Good, I'll play extra loud." So he was always beautiful. Well, Jack had, he got COVID during the height of it. And he was in ICU and on a ventilator for 3 weeks.
Wow.
And God bless him, he's doing great, but he hasn't really started to play, and that's a lot of lung capacity to play a trumpet. So he's doing great, though. He's really, I saw him the other day, and I talk to him frequently, and he's doing really well, but he'll get there. It's just going to, it takes a while. So anyway, I was thinking when I walked in, and so I have to call him because I haven't called him when I got out, I was about to call him, and then I thought, you know what, it's Christmas Eve. He might be with his family, and I thought, I'll wait. I haven't got, so I will do it. Today, I'll call him and make sure I see him. But yeah, it was beautiful. And very, 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 very well attended. So it was great. And then Christmas Day, the kids stayed for breakfast, and Katie and Sean, and we opened up all our, my sister came over, and we opened up all our gifts, and it was beautiful, lovely morning. And then they left, and Tommy made dinner, which was outstanding. And then a few of my friends came over for dessert. And so we had quite
the
full, pardon me?
What was dessert?
Oh, I had a whole bunch of stuff. I had ricotta cookies. I had pumpkin squares. I had cream puffs, cheesecake. It was delicious. Everything was delicious. So
were these all gluten-free?
And everything gluten-free.
Okay.
Several things from Mansour's. And Billy Lavelle makes a couple things for us, and it was great. So I have lots left over. But he used to own Vine. He used to own Vine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. You know, Billy, you bought cookies in the past.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So anyway, that was our night, our day, and it was busy, and my brother came. And that night, my sister-in-law Don and two of my younger nephews, the youngest in the family, both of them stopped. So there were about 10 of us here that night. And it was very, very nice. Very full weekend. Move, 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 move. And so as a result, Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, I did not leave my house.
Good move. Good move.
I cleaned up under my tree and organized a little more and did all that, but I did not leave my house. So today, as we're taping on Thursday, I was out today, but I was not the last 2 days, and it kind of was nice because I'm on vacation this week too. Just took some days off, not vacation, but just took some time off. And anyway, so that was it. How about yours? Did you enjoy the little one?
Oh, I did. It was really a very interesting setup because believe it or not, my niece Mara and her husband Kevin and the two girls were both in the 4:30 service at their church as the live nativity. So Shirley, who was the wild and crazy one, she apparently was just out of control. But, you know, she did what she did, and that was the end of it. But then the baby, Lois, who's a girl, played Jesus. They had her wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Oh, my God.
And Mara was dressed like Mary, you know, I mean, the thing around her head and all that stuff. And Kevin had his Joseph attire on and a full beard. And so they did their thing. And so while they were there, I was at my sister's house. And I got some of the stuff ready for dinner because the other issue is when you have little ones like that, they want to eat relatively early.
I know.
So, you know, in the past, when they were not, you know, even on the planet yet, Diane would go, yes. Diane would go and do this 4:30 or whatever one it was, and then come back and put the stuff in the oven, and we'd eat like 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and it was fine. You know, there was nothing else to do. That's just the way it went. So it was split now because I was at the house helping to do some of the things so that when they got home, they could just pop things in the oven and heat them up and everybody would be happy. And that's exactly how it worked. So I didn't get to see it, but I saw some video and some pictures that Tim took, my nephew. He went and took all the video and the still pictures and brought them back. So we had a wonderful dinner. I have to definitely do a shout out to Travato's in Clark Summit, because I was there, I think it was on the 12th or something like that of December, and I ordered it ahead of time. We had two Chateaubriand roasts, which we've done now for 3 or 4 years, and I brought them back with me, and they were absolutely spectacular. The kind of meat that just melts in your mouth.
Yep.
So it was great. We had that. And then I also brought a big ring of, kielbasi.
Oh,
that was something that my grandfather, as a butcher, used to make himself. And of course, he had way too much garlic in it for me. But nevertheless, this was a very mild one. And my nephew-in-law, I guess you'd say, Kevin, is an avid smoker. And I don't mean that with cigarettes. I mean that with a big, I don't know, a smoker-type device that he puts all kinds of meats in. And it just falls off the bone. He just... he's just so good at it, and it's so tasty. So he did some of that, and then we had all kinds of wonderful casseroles, and my sister got a bouche de Noël, which is one of my favorite things, I think.
Yeah,
there's a great bakery in Chestnut Hill that does that. So we had that, and I, of course, brought the cookies that I make every year. And that was really fabulous. I mean, that it was a wonderful evening. And then we went back again to their place on Christmas Day, exchanged gifts, and my sister made a wonderful casserole with eggs, hash browns, and all kinds of stuff in it, and it's just delicious. So we had that, and Kevin smoked a ham, so we had that. And then in the evening, everybody was a little tired of that kind of food. So she did a baked ziti, and that was one that was with meatballs. That was perfect. Of course, Patrick was delighted beyond words that he would have
that
his pasta.
That it was Italian food. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we talked about that.
Like it.
I know, and we talked about.
Well, you know what, Liz,
his family.
That was good.
Yeah.
That's good. Because I think there's nothing better than sauce when you have all this rich beef and potatoes and all this. You just kind of long for stuff. We actually had ravioli with our meal as well, carrots and salad and the filet, and we had a tenderloin, and that Tommy cooked it was delicious. And we also did gluten-free ravioli that I ordered from, I think I've told you before, this company. It's called Pasta, and they're in Connecticut, and they ship. And the food, their pasta is delicious. It was the first time I ever tried the ravioli, and it was excellent. So, there's nothing like having that. Yep.
Uh-huh. All right. Good.
Yeah, Tommy even said, I would dare anyone to tell me that they don't think this is regular ravioli because it was so perfect. So, I know. There's nothing like that. So, that's great.
I agree with you. That's like a wonderful change of pace to have something like that. And the salad, we did the same thing, all that.
Yeah.
And some Italian bread, and it was great. It was just the right thing to do. And then we all came home and just, like, laid around like blobs. So that was it was a really wonderful Christmas because it was, everybody was so close, physically. It worked.
Good. And you didn't have to drive home, so that was good.
Right.
Except a few blocks away this time. So we're going to continue the story. We'll be right back. You're listening to Laurie and Blinn Show.
Hi, this is Nancy Kamen from WILK's Morning News, and I know Laurie Cadden. A lot of people know Laurie Cadden. And more importantly, Laurie Cadden knows a lot of people. Laurie Cadden Enterprises specializes in fundraising, public relations, and special events. Laurie Cadden can take your business or organization to the next level. This isn't something that you learn about in a book. Heck, it can't even be taught. Laurie Cadden lives it. She knows how to work a crowd, open doors, and build and nurture relationships. With Laurie Cadden Enterprises, you get, ta-da, Laurie Cadden and her 20-plus years of experience. Call Laurie today at 357-8399, 357-8399, or email Laurie, Laurie, at lauriecadden.com, lauriecadden.com. Laurie Cadden Enterprises, because it is who you know.
I'm Dr. Nicole DeNova. Since VREC opened its doors in 2010, we've treated over 30,000 patients, including the puppy whose curiosity led him to a porcupine and the police canine who was just doing his job. VREC is located at 318 Northern Boulevard in Clark Summit and is open 24/7 for your pet peace of mind. To learn more about us, visit VRECPA.com or call 570-587-7777.
It's Saturday morning with Lori and Lynn. Now, back to Lori and Lynn.
Well, we're back. My name is Lynn Evans. I am a certified financial planner, and I am also the managing director of a company called Women of Substance, LLC. That's a financial planning firm devoted specifically to the needs of baby boomer women.
And I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising PR and special event business.
And we were talking, as we usually do, about a couple of things that's part of this wonderful website that's called The Ethel, which is a publication of AARP. And it's designed for baby boomer women, I guess. This one that just came out today as we're recording this is called Six Things Women Over 60 Are Told They Shouldn't Do, But They Should. And it's written by Caroline Levitt, who is a woman who's written many articles for this publication before. She says they're everywhere, those pesky messages bombarding us about how we women over 60 are supposed to dress, act, and live our lives. But who exactly made these rules and why? Should they apply to every or even any woman? Can't we be the person who makes that decision for ourselves? I say we can. Let's look at some of these misguided things dictated to us that we should ignore. Hair stories. If you go gray, you'll add 10 years to your age. If you don't go gray, you're not being natural. If you color your hair, you look younger. Every woman should cut her hair to look like an adult. Can't we somehow cure the coiffure battles? Take my older sister, who had black hair that she let go white, growing it to her waist. She looks ethereal now, and people stop her on the street to tell her so. She practically bounces with confidence. Then take Cher, who, while totally supportive of any woman who wants to stop coloring her hair, has said that going gray isn't for her, that she feels best with the same hair she had in her teens. Want a gorgeous long fall of white hair? Go for it. Want to cut it an inch all over your head? Great. Want to dye your hair pink or blue or black? My mother-in-law, who died at 101, kept her bright orange beehive and dressed up every day in the loud, silky prints she loved. Who was anyone to tell her not to when she got such joy out of it? Do what makes you feel good, even if you are the only woman doing it. Sports. Be careful. Don't strain muscles or break bones or give yourself a heart attack. Bah humbug, says Alicia Abaja, assistant professor of geriatrics and gerontology at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore. You can still build muscle and strength no matter what your age. Decline isn't inevitable. Want to know why? There are women in their 80s and even 90s running marathons or becoming bodybuilders. Things older women worry about, like loss of balance and falls, are actually and often caused by inactivity and not age at all. Exercise boosts memory and helps prevent dementia. Being inactive is also worse for both your heart and your joints. Yes, check with your doctor. Yep, start slow. But if you think you can't be the odd woman out in the gym full of gorgeous young people in spandex, think again. You can be the inspiring older person, an example for them to follow. Don't want to go to the gym? Bring the gym home. I have both a rebounder and a stationary bike at home, And every time I use them, I feel stronger, calmer, and I know I'm doing something good for both my body and my mind. Hiding any sort of aging or disability to appear younger. Disability and infirmity equal aging, or do they? My friend had terrible diabetes that impaired her ability to walk. At first, depression hit. Then she got a cherry red scooter decorated with glitter that could motor all over town. She was delighted at the mobility, stopped to talk to anyone, and made new friends. Everyone knows the tired stereotype that hearing impairments are the hallmark of aging and something to mock. But people of all ages lose hearing. I lost some hearing after giving birth at 42. Of course, I was secretive about it until this new company, ReSound, began a revolution by changing the story, encouraging people to consider hearing aids the same way we do glasses. What can make you feel younger more than being able to experience the whole world around you with ease and style? I refuse to let anyone pigeonhole me into their idea of the older person mishearing words and barking, what?
Yeah.
Instead, thanks to my cutting-edge technology, my hearing is often better than that of most people. In the next category, enjoyable sex, coming right up. We all know that sex changes as we get older, but does that mean we should give it up? Hell no. Not when there are zillions of lubricants around and sex toys. Sex isn't just intimacy. It revs up the hormones we need, boosts health and happiness too. Yes, orgasms might take longer, but what's wrong with prolonging the pleasure? Quote, I'm done with that, end quote, one of my friends told me, adding, who the hell wants to date a woman in her 70s? Well, a lot of people do. And the ones that don't, well, do we really want someone who cannot see beyond the wrinkles to the dazzling person beneath? My mom, by the way, fell in true love for the first time at 93 and stayed in love and intimate until she died. Love can happen at any age. Yeah, that's amazing. Clothing and makeup, do's and don'ts. Often in my social media feed, I get these annoying ads for 10 outfits no one over 50 should ever wear. And no more blue eyeshadow, no short skirts, no dowdy long skirts, lighter foundation. You know what? Every time I wear a favorite pair of bell bottoms I saved from the 70s, I feel great. I strut in them, and yes, people notice. But then I smile, and they smile back. Thinking you are old. Age is a number. And don't that last line part of it, I want to scream. That commercial, age is a number, and mine's unlisted. No, thank you. That's not the point. Ask yourself instead, how old do I feel? And then be that person. Want to know the only real shouldn't for women over 60? People shouldn't tell other people what they should or shouldn't do, period. Mm-hmm. So who are you? The person you really want to be. Ta-da!
Love it. And Lynn, did you mean you hate that line?
Yes.
Mine is on, I do too.
I'm just so sick of that commercial. It's been on for 10 years. That woman sits there and says, age is just a number and mine's unlisted. It's, oh, please.
Yeah, I can't. And the other thing is that flies in the face of what you and I have been doing for years and years on this show about stop it with the don't want to talk about your age. I mean, if you don't want to talk about it, you don't have to talk about it. But denying what age you are is stupid.
It is.
So I can't. I have no interest in that. None. But yeah,
I know.
I get it. Well, but that is true. I guess that would be the same as us telling people we shouldn't tell people.
I totally agree that over the years we have constantly talked about that in so many ways, different articles, about women still feeling they're ashamed to talk about their age because it's somehow, well, there still is. There is such a thing as ageism, and I'll grant that people who people make up certain things about people when you tell them what age you are. And if that's the case, you can't do a thing about it. It's just something that they learned somewhere that we can just say, refute it. It's not true. But
right.
I think it's crazy when women get so persnickety about, I don't want to tell you my age. Why? I mean, God, you've earned it. You've earned every wrinkle you have, everything about who you are. And yet it's not something that our society accepts. And I was thinking about this the other day when they showed, Patrick and I were watching a movie that had Robert Redford and the other guy whose name just, I can't think of it. It was on either Netflix or one of the other ones. No. It was it's a very recent one. And the guy is somebody you know. I mean, he was quite an actor. And they both were their current age. I mean, there was no question that they were. And it was just so funny to see them unapologetic about it. You know, we are whatever. They are in their 70s or 80s. I don't know how old they are, but they did a fabulous job in this movie. It was a great movie. And it's something about we took a walk in the woods, I think it's called A Walk in the Woods or something like that. And it was two guys that had known each other for a very, very long time, had gone off on different ways in their lives and reconnected when the Robert Redford character decided that he was not going to be told that because of his age, he couldn't do something. So he called all of his old buddies to find somebody who would go with him and walk the Appalachian Trail. And I'm not going to get into it, but because it has an interesting ending. But the point was that these guys did not let their age stop them. And they were constantly being reminded of it by these young guys who would come by, you know, walk right by them, and they were in excellent condition. But they didn't care. They just kept trudging on.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was a good movie, very life-affirming type thing. But I want to see more of that. I want more women and men who are people that we knew when they were earlier. And let's just take a look at them and respect them for who they are now.
Uh-huh.
Instead of Patrick's line, which is, boy, so-and-so's really shown his age. And I say to him, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
You know, that's the truth. What's wrong with that?
It's the truth. But Lynn, it really doesn't matter. If you're healthy and you can keep doing and do what you want to do, that's the beauty. That's why, if anything, is to stay healthy. That's it. Forget about what the age is. Worry about staying healthy, and then you can do whatever you want, which then age doesn't seem as much of an issue, right?
Agreed.
It's just a better way of doing it. So,
yep.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with our guest expert of the week, Miss Lynn Evans, who will be talking a little bit about her role in the Laurie and Lynn Show for the past 14 years of the Laurie and Lynn Show. And this is her, Lynn's last official, although I think she's going to come on the show a couple times, but she just won't be in the capacity of having to do it on a weekly basis. But anyway, so we'll be right back and talk about this. You're listening to the Laurie and Lynn Show, and we'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Lynn S. Evans, CFP, co-host of The Laurie and Lynn Show. I am the managing director of a new business, Women of Substance, LLC, a financial planning firm dedicated to the specific financial needs of baby boomer women. I help them navigate through widowhood, retirement, divorce, and job loss. Send me an email at lynn@lynnsevans.com and let me know how I can help you. I'm also the host of a podcast, Power of the Purse, available on more than 30 sites, including iTunes, Stitcher, Stitcher and Google Play. We record these lively conversations with women who've been there and have great advice to give others so they don't go down the same dark holes. And we feature some experts who share some great ideas to be prepared before you have to face these transitions. And we have a whole lot of fun. Please don't let the fear of not knowing about personal finances stop you anymore. I am here to take the confusion and mystery out of money. Go to my website, lynnsevans.com, and see how we can set up a time to talk or browse around the many blogs and other free info on the site. Remember, money's not the enemy. Your ignorance of it is.
Business banking at Fidelity.
We have a great relationship with Fidelity. They're like family with us. They're right next door to my business. If there's ever a problem, just one phone call. I don't even have to go to them. They come to me. It's great. I love being in the business. This was meant for me. We're very busy. I'm running every day, and I love to stay busy. So that's why I need a bank that's going to be there for me when I need them. Back in 2006, we were having a problem with our lease in our other building. We were looking for a place to go. We stumbled upon this location. It's right in the heart of downtown, right in the middle of the city, and it happened to be right next to Fidelity Bank. They went out of their way for us to get this building. It was wonderful, and it's been a great relationship ever since. I have a business line of credit with Fidelity that gives me buying power. My credit card machine runs through Fidelity, my checking account, my payroll taxes. They take care of it all for me. I bank with Fidelity, don't you?
Member FDIC.
Here's Lori and Lynn.
Hi, we're back. My name is Lynn Evans. I'm a certified financial planner, and I am a managing director of Women of Substance, LLC. That's a financial planning firm devoted specifically to the needs of baby boomer women.
And I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising PR and special event. And as I said earlier, we're going to talk to Lynn about the highs and lows, but I want to start by saying many years before the 14 that we just have completed, and I know I said this before, but bears repeating, that when I started to do radio a zillion years ago, I had wanted to do some things, and we started a show, and Lynn said, I believe in you, and I'm going, as a matter of fact, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to do the first two shows for you and pay for and buy the first two shows. And she did. And Sue Henry helped us because I had done it before, but it was just Sue wanted to help because she liked both of us, and she did. And she said, you know, you guys really have good chemistry. You should really consider doing a show together. And then that sort of morphed into then the Live with Laurie and Lynn. And then we started, and we, for how many years, Lynn, did we do it live? Running down to Pittston to get into the station for little before nine, on a Saturday morning to do the show.
Sometimes a little after nine.
Well, I was just going to say, sometimes some blonde would come in and sit down 2 seconds before we went on air, but I was always prepared. And we would run in and do our show, and then we decided that we can do this, we can tape this, which we knew.
Well,
we
I think a lot of that was because of COVID, Laurie.
No. That was long before COVID.
Well, that's true.
What happened was, I think once or twice, Lynn, you and I, whether it was snow related or there were issues, and I don't know if it was Johnny or Nancy had said, you know, you can tape this. And so then we just decided that it would be easier all the way around if we taped. And then our guests wouldn't have to come down. And so then we went to that format, and we changed the name then from Live with Laurie and Lynn to The Laurie and Lynn Show. And here we are. We never looked back. And 14 years later, we are coming to the end of the show in the name of The Laurie and Lynn Show. Lynn has, as we have talked about before, moved to the Philadelphia area, and It's no longer something that she wants to be able to do on a weekly basis, and so had decided that she would call it quits this year, and she is. And so this is her last official day taping. So, Lynn, you know, we talked a little bit about the history of that, but you want to talk about the people who have supported us and, you know, how this has morphed into what it is today.
Yeah, I think that initially, after I paid for the first two, then it became something that we decided needs to be continued at that same slot at 9 o'clock on Saturday mornings. And so then it became a quest to find people that had something to say that would be willing to pay for the hour and be our guest expert. We didn't call it that then, but who would be willing to share their knowledge on some subject and promote something so that if they really wanted to talk about something coming up, an event, or if it was their business or a new business, we gave them the 14 minutes of airtime at the last segment of the show. And then we got wise, and Laurie, because of her knowledge of fundraising and sponsorships, said, why don't we see if we can get an annual sponsorship? And then that organization would have the same week each month so that they would be, let's say, the second Saturday of every month, and they would have the choice of whatever it was they wanted to talk about, whether it be an event coming up and or promoting some new service or even the opportunity to highlight some of the services they had that the general public may not have known even existed. So we did that, and she did that, actually, and was able to secure, for the most part, four annual sponsors. And each of those
sometimes
sponsors,
five and sometimes three, yeah, depending on what we
right
needed. Yep.
And so we had a sufficient revenue to be able to support the cost of putting on the show, and it just became so much easier. So, such an easy format for us to follow. And we had some great guests. And I wanted to just highlight some of those people. Initially, Midori Yamanuchi was very helpful to us. And when we were very, very young in the thing, she said that she would give us a significant amount of money to support us so that we wouldn't have to think about where are we going to get the money for next week.
Mm-hmm.
And Midori's always been a good friend of ours.
She's,
I mean, she's been
and she's
very
the
supportive
one who asked,
of women.
And asked us. We didn't ask her.
Yes.
She had said to us,
yes,
I want to support this.
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead.
So that's the kind of stuff that we had in the early years that really allowed us just to keep going. We really didn't have any particular plan of this thing other than we just kept going. And that's kind of where it is that we ended up with something north of 5,000 or 6,000 people who listen every Saturday, mm-hmm, which is extraordinary. That,
right,
you know, we really, it's a local flavor, and it is something that a lot of people stopped Laurie and I and would say, oh, I listened to your show on Saturday mornings, and I recognized your voice. And it's interesting to see the person behind the voice, because radio is that way. Or the funny, I forget who told us this, who said, it's great because you have a face for radio.
A face for radio, right, right.
But who, mm-hmm, said that? Was that Sue Henry or somebody?
Oh, no. That's an old line. That's an old line.
Okay. But I never heard it before.
Yeah. Well,
but
of course,
I think it's funny.
Of course, it doesn't apply to us at all.
No.
But it
no,
still
not
works.
Least.
It's still, mm-hmm, it's still
still works.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Yeah, so.
But, you know, Lynn, there's been many people, the wonderful people we have with us, the ERA One Source Realty, and the, what is the name of Nicole's, the, how are they saying?
Veterinary Surgical Center.
There we go, have been with us for years, and Fidelity Bank has been a constant yes and sponsor to us yearly. We had Barbetti McHale was with us. We had Truly Scrumptious, Kathy Reppert, who when she owned Truly Scrumptious, Barbara O'Hara, attorney Barbara O'Hara, Dr. Barbara Pluckmet, who was with us for many years. I mean, these people have bought into helping us as women business owners and came in to help us, not the Fidelity Bank as a woman business, but their women always putting their women in, within the organization on and agreeing and helping us. And Joanne Marsili when she was there, and now Noelle, Dan Santanello, who believes in it and wants to help us. These are people, Sunita Arora, who again, you know, has stepped up, as well as Nicole DeNova, Dr. DeNova. And Barbara O'Hara, for I think she was a sponsor for 8 years, and Barb Plucknett right around the same time until, you know, there were things that time didn't allow, and so we had to change things. And Kathy Reppert was a sponsor while she had her bakery, Truly Scrumptious, and she knew she was closing it. So, I mean, and these people have been part of this for years and years and years, year after year after year, who believed in us and said, hey, I want to do this because it's good, because it's 14, sometimes up to 16 minutes of straight air that you get on a monthly basis, plus commercials every week that we were able to provide, and then bring in, Lynn, nonprofits who may not be able to do it and talk about what they were doing or what they needed to promote and to work with us in that capacity. And you have given countless people great financial information through the years, and working with so many, especially when Barbara was on, and the ability and Fidelity Bank with your background to work together and to give people the information that they can hopefully take from this show. And not only do we have fun and we talk about things that are happening and what we did and the personalization of it all, but then to bring the information for these businesses to the public has been remarkable. And Lynn, you should be extremely proud of yourself for all of what you've done and worked on, and 14 years of a radio show on a weekly basis. And we don't get paid to do it. We have to find people to help us buy, sponsor it, and buy the show so that it could continue and to come and to do it. And I think we talked about this through COVID, through everything. If we taped, we used to tape what we called evergreen shows, just to have on Johnny Lucas, would have it stored just in case something happened. And in 14 years, I think we've only had to do something like that twice. And if it isn't twice, it's three times. But no more than three times in 15 years. So do the math, 15 times 52, all of those weeks, putting on a show every single week and doing it consecutively is a big deal. And it's been a lot of fun and laughs, and you and I just get each other, and you're just one of my best and dearest friends. I will never forget, as I never do for anybody who's ever helped me, but you were someone who believed in my ability to do radio and said, I will help you, and turned into, I think, a wonderful partnership for, again, I'm going to repeat it, 14 straight years of having fun on WILK at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, so, but I think the funniest times were the ones when we were recording live. And I remember driving down the turnpike in the wintertime with snow and sleet and freezing rain, and pulling into the parking lot at 9:01 and we had we were live at what, 9:05?
9:06. 9:06 we had to start.
I don't know how we did that. I don't know how we did it, but we did. So here's to 14 years of wild and crazy fun. And my thanks to you, Laurie, for being a fun partner and a true friend. And well, I hope you have all the best in your new show. And I guess that's it. If I could drop the mic, I would.
You would. And so now you're going to sing Carol Burnett, "I'm So Glad We Had the Time Together."
Please.
So,
oh, Lord.
But Lynn, you are the best, the best, the best. You are a brilliant woman who is, knows her craft, who has added wonderful levity and knowledge to this show. And I love you to pieces. You are truly the best. But you won't be gone long because, as I said, you will be back to visit us every now and then. So
I'll
make sure that continues to happen. There we go. But, Lynn, I love you. And thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. You're the best.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And everyone, and Lynn, do you want to sign out today? Since this will be your last sign out instead of my word,
you need,
go ahead.
You say your thing.
All right. Well, thank you, Lynn. We love you. And everybody else, thank you for listening. And Lynn, thanks you for 14 years of listening. And we will see you next week, 9 a.m. for the Laurie Cadden Show. And we'll see you soon and have a great weekend. Happy, happy, happy New Year. Let's bring in the new year with a bang, and we will see you next week. Thank you. Be safe, and please be nice. Bye.
Bye.